Blog Talk Radio.
I and I will stand up and fight for all rights. I and I will find a way to survive. Not an easy way out, easy way out. Fighting to be free. It's not an easy way out, easy way out. Trapped in society. It's not an easy way out, easy way out. Fighting to be free. It's not an easy way out, easy way out. Trapped in society. It's a troubled world, yes I know. The signs of the times, yes it shows. See corruption as it grows. When will it end? Only Jah Jah knows. And so much injustice, we gotta fight that. Good over evil must prevail.
Africa. And then there are some others who sell Negroes in the South.
us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool off. Our only answer in calm, patient turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here, and we want all of them not next year, not next week, but we want them now, at this hour. This is what we're saying.
What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
Once again, Sunday night, and we are here, the place we have to be, with the host that, with the most, with the one that we should be with, the lovely, intelligent, and all-knowing, our sister, Mrs. Sadie Gomez, and this is the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated Local 26, the Women's Auxiliary. Let's give them her a nice hand and bring them to the studio.
Thank you very much, Dr. Robinson, for your kind welcome. This is Sadie Gomez of the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, Local 26, the Women's Auxiliary, coming to you live and alive on this Sunday night. This is the Sadie Sunday Show. You know what we do across here. It's the Sadie Sunday, so what we do for our new listeners and for our old listeners, we want to welcome you first and foremost. We want to give thanks unto the Almighty at this time for one more day of spared life and tender mercies, and for bringing us here at this hour to enjoy the 2 hours of talk. Because, you know, we go from one thing to the other, but what we really focus on is the truth, mainly the truth. And here we... sometimes we like to lift up the carpet and peep under and see what's there, or we drag it right out and we examine it, and then sometimes we put it back. But all we do around here is tell the truth. And for my guest who is sharing with us, you come forward, you bring whatever you want to talk about, and you know we're going to talk about it because we're willing to go from A to Z and from 0 to 100 on this side of town. So again, it's Fairy Sunday, and we welcome you. So our topic for this evening, we want to talk about Africa. As I have said, Africa is on my mind for so many reasons. And I'm dropping all these very little hints because, you know, the continent seems to be calling me. But I really want to talk about Burkina Faso. In Burkina Faso, here we have the world's youngest president. So we are seeing a mixture of youth, strength, and integrity. So many great qualities that we can observe, and so many great qualities that many of the elder leaders in Africa ought to pay attention to. And I speak of integrity of this young man simply because it's just under 9 months or so that he has taken over, despite the conditions in which it was done, but the people are happy, and in a democratic government, what do? We please the people. That's what it's all about. So the people are happy, and here we have this young man, Ibrahim. I'm so very proud of him. So what's happening, he did promise the people that he would go into 7 different projects, of which there would be employment and, of course, advancement in his country. And this man has delivered. We are watching strategic ways in which he has done so. What he has done, but most presently, this is last week, just like Friday or so, he went to Iran. You know, it was no secret, no under the table cover up. He was taking pictures of the world to see, shaking hands and everything. But the agreement was he went there to have an agreement with the Irani government that they will build an oil refinery in Burkina Faso, and this deal will help with the other deals that he is making to now employ 1 million people of his country. He has also gone to Russia, and Russia in an agreement that they are going to take care of the water situation, and thereby there will be irrigation, there will be food, there will be water, there will be no more dry land across on that side of town. And of course, most of all, which you know is very important, although we may try to say it looks a kind of way, but he went to North Korea because a man of such stature and understanding at this time, he would need his protection. So we ought to keep it real with ourselves here. The man went to North Korea, so I know where he's getting his ballistics from. So we see that he has the place on total lockdown in a few years from now. That would be probably the place to go because there's 1 million people employed. There's not much angry people. The place is being built up. And again, as I said, it's the youngest president in the world. So we ought to step back and pay attention and see what's really going on here. Africa is on the rise, and I feel good to say, because we say Federation rising, and of course, the great and beautiful continent is rising as well. So we are observing all things Africa at this point, and we are seeing where in the continent, Chad and many others at this time are asking the French government to kindly leave. Now, what is so wrong? You came to my country, you were there for over 60 years, you promised to help me, all you did was milk us like cows, you run away, our country is the poorest in the land, and you're still saying you want to help? No, actually, we don't need your help, we just want you to leave, please. You know, just really just get out of our country, and that's all we're asking, and that is the amount of patience African people have had at this time. That's a lot of patience. But here we are seeing the wicked, evil Chaldeans of the world. France was told to leave. Okay, now, here are the conditions. The vehicles that they use, they decide to take a wrecker and smash all of them. Imagine. So if you were in my country, healthy, and you were so kind, and you're such a big father and a big brother or whatever you were doing there, how come now, when you were asked to leave, you are so upset that the vehicles that you were using, probably 100 or more of them, why can't you just leave it for the poor African people that you have bled throughout the time that you have been there, all of 60 years, you and your four parents? You decide to squash them down. And it's publicly done. It's not like, also not make the 6 o'clock news, but of course, you know, it's Saturday, Sunday. This is where we get the real news. You know, we get our Sunday dose of reality on this side of town. So, you know, this is what's really happening. As again, I said, it's not the 6 o'clock news. You will not put on your telly live vision and see it on there. But you know how it is. It's right here. And it's happening real and in lifetime. So here we're seeing African people, again, further suffering. They have probably over 200 vehicles that were destroyed. So Africa is waking up. Africa is rising. We are feeling happy for this moment. The 400 years of slavery are certainly passed. You know, we had to go through such for the disobedience that our parents has done. And we have asked ourselves several times, how come our parents have eaten the bitter grapes, but our teeth have been on edge? And our teeth have been on edge for so very long. And you know, it's on edge for no more because we are claiming our rightful place and stance within the earth and the world. And we are watching how it's coming from the very small countries, or rather not small, but on the developed and the countries that don't really make the news. This is not Nigeria we're talking about. Nigeria is always in the news. Nigeria is doing this and that and the third. But again, what is Nigeria doing for its people? But we are leaving these topics open for my studio audience to join in so we know what time it is. We know where we are going with our conversation for the evening. Again, we are going to touch on our local and our regional. And we are touching, because we are right back here into America. We are going to leave Africa for a moment. I hate to do so, but here I am. We are coming back over into the West, the Wild Wild West. Here we are looking at the American situation. Now tell me. Again, as I remind you, you know where you are, where we are on Sundays. So we are watching the southern border crisis. Is there a southern border crisis? There was a time in Obama's reign, there was a record of 2,000 people coming in at the borders, and this seemed to be a great crisis. Oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? So there came a man called Trump. I'm just really speeding this up first because I want to get to the present time. And then there were border patrols. Borders were being enhanced, walls were being built, a lot of jokes were happening because they were showing those Mexicans were going to climb that wall regardless. Oh, there was a period where there was ICE, there was Homeland Security, people were being sent to them left, right, and center. Oh, my God, people were shaking their boots. Oh, my God, Trump is going to build a wall. Maybe he was going to build a wall. But why is material for the wall still lying there now? We have a man that's taken over called Biden, and he has been there for almost 3 years, I say. How much workmen do we need? Because, you know, a Mexican can put up a wall like in 1 month, but we are talking 3 years here. But we are speeding up to real time because I am giving the record, and I'm not really making this up because I really can't. And plus, it's say this and this. Nobody talks. No, we cannot lie on this side of town because somebody's going to call us out. So I'm going to tell you, I'm listening to the news. So I'm saying, oh, what kind of material I'm going to use for this evening. Let me see what's happening in the news. So then I said, let me get into some real news, perhaps. Let me hear what the Republicans are saying, you know, those are the ones who love to bring the news. So I'm listening on, and then I really see some factual things that now we are up to 9,000 people crossing the border on a daily basis. Now, it has moved up from 2,000 people in a period of over 4 years or more. It has now reached to 9,000 people, and presently, there are 2 million people that have come in. No, I'm just listening to the people talking. So I'm throwing this at you now. This is what's happening. So no wall was built. I guess there was no labor to put up a wall because the material is still lying there. Or maybe there's no money for the wall, but the material is there. The sun is setting in the rain. Oh, my God, who's going to build this wall? What kind of wall it is? I can't imagine something like a wall cannot be built. I don't know. It's just bricks, and I don't know what else, steel, what they're going to do. Or maybe they can't decide how much feet to build. I just can't imagine. But I know it's not the Tower of Babel, or is it? I don't know. But here we are saying these Sundays again. I'm throwing it at you. You know how we do it in this side of town. So what is happening again that I'm really paying attention to is the fact that in all of that madness, there were 300,000 children reportedly that came in. So here I'm saying there are children that came in. Some with parents, some with no parents, some, you know, they came, they're children. But the question is today, because you know where you are, it's 300,000 children. So where are these children? Are they being employed? Were they adopted? Are they being sex trafficked as a child labor? And once again, the really big underlying question lies, which cartel is really benefiting from this immigration crisis? Because this seems to be really big business and nobody seems to be paying attention. It's just really going on quite unnoticed. And everybody says, oh, my God, what's happening? So, yeah, I wonder what's happening because when I found out, with all of the news I'm listening to, that, you know, Homeland Security budget has been cut. So, therefore, there'll be less Homeland Security people running around because there were only really 9,000 Homeland Security. And now, if you can do the math, you have 9,000 Homeland Security people, you have 3 million run over the border. Who is going to be watching these people? And then I'm just throwing it at you. Have you seen any of these people? I mean, as I said, I wonder who's benefiting from this because it seems to be really big business. And I'm smelling the Benjamins over on the side. But, you know, we are here throwing this at you for my lovely studio audience who are so wise because, you know, they have been having lessons on their Sunday dose of reality for quite so long that they exactly ought to tell me later on when they do chime in. So, again, we are watching things, and just for trivia here, I came up upon something that really, really I found to be quite true, quite amazing. But, you know, we drop knowledge on this side of town, so I just wanted to ask, for example, when we say something like knock on wood, don't you know we have a practice where we are talking and we said, oh my gosh, knock on wood. So here I want to inform my lovely studio audience, all my brilliant and bright angels, here I want to say to you, do you know where that came from? Because everything came from someplace. But I will let you know, I want that you boost your brains, for example. So here I am going to tell you. In an ancient time, there was a people and a practice whereby people, when they say certain things, they would go to a tree and knock on the tree, asking the spirit of the tree to help them in whatever situation that was occurring at that time. That's the true origin of that action. And today, we come about and we say something and we say knock on wood and we are looking for every wooden item and really we wouldn't even knock plastic because we are so superstitious. We're looking for wood and we are knocking on wood. But tell me, can't you see how the occultic behavior has slipped into our everyday life? And we really didn't know because we are busy talking something and we say, oh, knock on wood. But have you ever really stop to think where that came from. But it's Fairly Sunday, it's nice that you, this is Fairly Comas of Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, welcoming you on this wonderful Fairly Sunday. So this is another place where I do all the talking, but you know, we keep the show running. So Dr. Robinson, could you please tell me what the queue is looking like this evening?
Yeah, people must call back in. I don't know if it's the weather or something, but people had dropped off. So people call back in. Sometimes the weather causes, you know, the somehow drops off. So we have to wait until they call back in.
Okay, wonderful. We do so. So nothing in the queue at this time. We wait.
Yes, exactly. So they have to call back in and then we will, I'll let you know and we'll get them back on. There's sometimes, I know the system drops people off within minutes. And so people got dropped off and people call back in and we can go from there.
Okay, wonderful, Dr. Robinson. Of course, it's a rainy Sunday. This is the type of Sunday where people really want to stay in their beds, stay inside. No one really wants to come outside. But this is the Sunday where we are inside and we really want to entertain you. While you stay inside, you can just stay inside and reason with us. We'd be happy to hear from you, happy to reason with you. So here we are with the show. But I know a few people, as you say, would come back in.
Right.
Dr.
Yes.
So we can chat at the meantime. What's happening and from what you have heard concerning
well,
the African?
Well, you said a mouthful. Africa is really waking up. There's a lot of things concerning, you know, and this is when you don't know history. You know, they said if you don't know history, you don't read history, you don't study history, history will repeat itself. And so, and I'm not saying only Africa, it happens in the Caribbean, it's happening here in America, it's happening in Europe, it happened all over the world, but Africa just have to be a pivotal point right now in history because of the fact of the matter is all of the resources come from Africa. All of the natural resources to sustain humankind, to sustain societies, develop societies, to move societies forward, come from Africa. So it's a pivotal place. It's a very important place. And if you don't understand that, then you don't understand the propaganda that's going on. Why are these European countries? Why is all, you know, Eastern Asia, Europe, America, what is so interesting about these countries? And then it goes back to history. Why is it so important? And this is going all across the world. Nobody can tell me that they're getting correct history, world history. When I was growing up, they used to teach world history in junior high school, middle school. Some places call it middle school, but junior high school, they used to teach world history. They don't teach that anymore. They used to teach geography. They don't teach geography anymore. Think about it. Why are they dumbing down the children? Why are they keeping this information away? All of this stuff is a part of the propaganda to take over Africa, to take over the Caribbean, to take over wherever there's natural resources, wherever there's
yes, Dr. Robinson, let me just interrupt you for a second. Yeah, you see what happened? We see the dumbing down of a nation. We also see it on this side because what is happening even now, if we are paying attention to our children, to those around us, so even those who, Lord forbid, took the vaccine, people have become very slow. People's behavior has changed. Let us start paying attention to a lot of people around us, especially if you work within the corporate world. You are seeing people who normally can interpret or analyze certain situations are doing at a slower speed. And this is happening, as I say, very slowly, but it's something we have to examine here, because I was having a conversation with my cousin about this, because she was in the corporate world in the management, and she was saying she would give certain instructions to people working under her, and the speed at which they're doing things. She said it had become annoying. You have to tell a person something about 3 times. And she said this has never happened before, and she's noticed within this year that people have actually slowed down. So I don't know if you're seeing it within the arena that you're there, because I know you do work alongside, you know, fairly intelligent people, and you're involved in business. So tell me, are you seeing this behavior pattern?
Young people, yeah, she's correct. Young people, I find this in a lot of young people, they're slow. And I'm not saying that to be mean or anything like that. I'm not doing a psychological evaluation because I'm a retired psychologist, but people are slow. They're slower. Their comprehensive skills are slow. They're not picking up as like they used to. We're developing a new crop of young people that's not fully functional, and it's concerning to me. I can ask young people. I deal in finances, international finances. So I deal with young people all over the world, and I could tell them, you know, this much and this much and this much. How much is that? And I just do it just to see where they're at. And I already got it calculated in my head. They have to get out their cell phone, go through their calculator, and put it all in the numbers. And I already know it. And I tell my children, I'm talking about my own grandkids, my own nieces and nephews, my own children. I'm not talking about nobody else's children. I'm not being selfish in that way. But I'm just letting y'all know it's a totally different. Everything is automated. Everything is microwave oven timing. Everything is calculated. Nobody's thinking. What they're doing, Sadie, they're giving us a society built with people that's mechanical, like AI, like they're all mechanics. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's thinking for themselves. Nobody has a brain to evaluate and understand something. And I deal with young people, and I observe them and I watch them, and they can't think analytically. They can't think for themselves. And that's causing a lot of problems in society, because when you can't think for yourself.
Really kind of think, because the situation was purposely done. This was done starting from the food supply, because let us just examine McDonald's, for instance. McDonald's is a food supply whereby 90% of people below a certain class, well, even the middle class to the poverty line, McDonald's seem to be a staple within their diet. Now, let us just take the simple thing of called the French fry, which we know the French never eat that because that's on their French diet. But why was it called the French fry anyway? But I'm examining this item, a potato. Why is there 19 ingredients in a French fry? You know, McDonald's French fries are never rotten. You can buy it in 2020 and it will be around for 2085. It will never go bad. So why are you consuming a food that has 19 ingredients and a simple thing like a potato? So people are not paying attention at all in the things that they're consuming. You get my point?
Amen. Yes. I see, and I believe this is the queen herself, Queen Olabisi. We want to give her a nice hand and welcome her into the conversation.
I love that laughter.
I'm going to, you know, somebody told me that, and I said, you know what, I might record it and sell it on iTunes.
Like, don't do that business, man.
Hey, I mean,
I need the money.
That's what entrepreneurship is all about.
I need the money.
You don't need it that badly, but it will be nice for your prosperity. You know, you're gone, somebody said, do you know whose laugh that is? That's the laugh of the... That's long after you're gone. It still lingers.
Yeah, yeah. Some people say, some of my grandkids have it, so I guess when I'm gone, they'll carry it on, right?
That's what I'm talking about. We don't think about prosperity much, you know, as black people. We should be thinking about the grandchildren of our grandchildren. If we could live a life so rich, so influential, so powerful, that the grandchildren of our grandchildren can know who we are, we would have said, yes, I've done it. See, like Marcus Garvey, the grandchildren of his grandchildren will know who he was. Muhammad Ali,
right.
The same.
Right.
Malcolm X, you know, the journal of truth. I mean, we don't have aspirations for great things. We tend to think that we need to live for ourselves, but we don't. Because the more we live to enhance our posterity, not prosperity, people think that the two are the same, but our prosperity is just a short, tangible thing. But our posterity is what keeps us alive for generations to come.
Mm-hmm. That's true. When you look at the conversation today, Sister Sadie's talking about Africa and the young people coming up now and the change of the guard and the change of governmental policies and procedures and the economic development and foreign affairs, how they're doing stuff. Imagine if the ancestors, the elders long time ago would have done that, would have secured the natural resources of Africa, would have secured the borders, if you will, of Africa, would have secured the governmental policies and procedures, would have kept the Europeans and the outsiders, the North Americans as well, to a certain restriction. Their children will be, you know, experiencing a lifelong, lifelong growth for wealth and opportunity. And everything, you know, I understand, you know, everything is not about money, people. I understand that. I'm not talking, people think that I only think about money. It's not that. I think about what if good people had money. What if people,
One second here, with the Queen. Queen, as I welcome you, though, I want you to touch on Burkina Faso mainly is the part of Africa we want to talk about, and that young president that's doing certain works over there. So we will swing around the continent, but we want to just focus right in the Burkina Faso area concerning the present news of what he's doing in a real sense of a way. So chime in that area of the continent.
Before I chime in into Burkina Faso, my brother was just saying that, you know, people think about money a lot. And one needs to understand that money is the most influential thing or the most influential commodity that exists to this time. If you have money, you can accomplish much. Poverty is not something that we should ever aspire to. And when I say that we have been brainwashed into believing that poverty is an aspiration, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek. These are biblical sayings that we have grown up reinforcing this idea that poverty is a great, something great to aspire to. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. Thereby goes our drive to achieve much without realizing that when you are poor, you have no influence. So definitely, we need people like yourself who become comfortable mentally of to have money that you can effect change and to to also have a new trajectory. But understanding the African dilemma. Again, we have so many people were brainwashed to that same tone of blessed are the poor and blessed are the meek and, you know, poverty is the thing you should ascribe to. And thereby, all the people who have money and influence have gathered the leaves towards themselves, The difficulty arises in when one gathers so many leaves towards themselves that they can't see over their pile of leaves to others who don't have any. So the haves have been very complacent. They have been very comfortable in maintaining themselves and not even caring for those who don't have. So now that we have this new up-and-coming young man who has acquired power, not in the traditional sense, but having had to find the tenacity to overthrow. You know that at some point in time, it's going to recycle itself. But as an arrow has to be launched, it must first be retracted. And it's just part of the process. We pray that he continues to do good things. You know, the factory creation in Africa is still something you say to yourself, why does he have to go to Iran to get help to implement an oil refinery? Is it not then a refinery that belongs technically to Iran? And these are the questions, because we also have the Chinese.
Let me ask you for a moment. At this point in this crucial undertaking, where would help come from?
Precisely, but what I'm saying, here comes the Chinese who have also been very generous in their donations and at the end of the day wanting to own. They have created communities of their own. They have erected highways, named it after themselves. They have implemented their own police force. I mean, you know, understand that who pays a piper calls a tune.
Yes, I was thinking of this particular situation in Burkina Faso. I know you speak of the Chinese, that they have one of the highways there in Nigeria, 2 billion roads, and as you say, name it after their grandparents. So we will see Nigeria has a Chinatown. But here we are watching this fresh development, and we are left to wonder. But at this point, what could we do from here on in terms of the young people grabbing Africa back after the resources have been milled by the colonizers? So where do
they
go from there?
This is the unity of Africa, and we need to become more and more unified. There are several other African regions that look down upon his acquisition of power, because they of themselves are in positions of power, so they are not seeing it as a positive, because they are asking themselves, if they celebrate this overthrow, maybe one day they themselves will be overthrown. But this is where the unity of Africa has always been at loggerheads, and we will continue to have these fights until we actually can sit down and have honest, authentic conversations, not conversations, but conversations.
Well, but the word con alone will tell you where that will head. So I love how you have changed that prefix. And we are really hoping that we could sit down for the betterment of the continent, that it will rise one day. We know with all progress, there will come sacrifices. It could even be in blood. But we are watching Africa, we are watching a brave stance that one has made. Because let's say our grandparents had sat down for 60 years while the French was milking the country. They did nothing, and they were probably afraid to do anything, or maybe hope that one day France will do something. But nothing was
done. Or maybe they were getting kickbacks. Or maybe they were getting some kickbacks to keep the people in line, to be gatekeepers to their own people. That's quite possible.
Well, of course, that's possible. But for the majority, when the poverty starts to reign and three generations pass and these children have been educated past their parents, they are now looking and saying, we want our slice of the pie. So that's where Africa is at this present time, following
mm-hmm.
the news. That does not mean the 6 o'clock news, of course.
Right. I mean,
but did you see-
I long to one day see or have reports of what they call a white Wall Street.
Hmm.
We know about Black Wall Street.
Yeah.
And we have a Wall Street in South Africa. And I think it's about time we have a white Wall Street with the same reports coming out of South Africa.
You're asking people to tell the truth over there?
I'm asking what?
You're asking the people to tell the truth? You want a report?
Well, I want that the same reports that we have had about our Black Wall Street to be duplicated in South Africa. So they will have their reports of what happened to their white Wall Street.
Understandable. But again, we have that word apartheid, and we still wonder what's going on over there, because just in a conversation earlier on, it is really underspoken of the fact that the Jewish people are in South Africa with the diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody paying attention?
Well, we need to give them a Black Wall Street experience there. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, there we go. So we are seeing where can progress take place, and what is the price we are willing to pay for such progress and advancement in the continent. Some people are boldly moving forward. But more importantly, did you see what happened at the United Nations concerning the representative for Burkina Faso?
No, I did not.
Did you see that video?
I did not.
Oh, it's a quite a cherished moment. You ought to listen to this. This man came up there, of course. He had an interpreter, I imagine a white woman, and he needed an interpreter. And his first minute of conversation, he was saluting men like Fidel Castro, Kwame Ture, Malcolm X. He just went on with some name and was calling the 9/11 list. I said, no. And imagine this interpreter, she has to call out everything because she has a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to see the video. Listen, United Nations had a minute of silence, I'm telling you. Very powerful and When I heard Peter, I was like, all right, Kwame Ture, all right. And he went down the line. And that was his opening statement. So, you know, it's a rising power for the black people of the world because it's about time, you know, really and truly. We often wondered, why can't we just take back our country? No, we asked them to leave. Can you please leave? And, you know, the things that you took 600 years ago, and your grandparents, but can you just bring them back, you know? Because where is your history? You're in Belgium, and you have the heads of the people from Congo and all the artifacts and their artwork. So where are your parents and grandparents' pictures? Why it is that you have African artwork in your museum?
From a shithole country.
You know, from a shithole country. So where is your artwork? Where is your history? Where are your things?
They don't have anything. They have nothing.
You don't have anything. So who are the advanced people of civilization? So we are seeing the reverse in things. People are now seeing a different way of thinking because even now we see where people are trying to tell you that the white Jesus, it is nothing, it is of a color skin. If it was of a color skin, why was it so important to put that special picture with that blue-eyed blonde hair man for all these hundreds of years when you all knew it was Caesar Borgia? Why did you put somebody else? And why over the years was there a change? It was, if it was just, that's not important, everywhere you should get somebody as a player. If such was the case, it was only a picture. But it was purposely done, and for us who gained the wisdom along the line, we understand what that was all about.
Definitely.
So, Queen, what is going on with you on Facebook? What lovely words we should give to you at your overture.
Oh, no, Facebook have these little algorithms that they send out and people circulate them asking, where did we meet? Where did we meet?
Oh.
And people are filling in information. And I'm like, no, if we want to connect, tell me what you will say about me at my funeral. But don't wait until I die to say good things or bad things about me. Feel free to say them now. So I changed the algorithm, and I said, choose now what you're going to say about me when I die. Let me hear the reports coming in. So...
That's
what you are seeing going on there in Facebook. So feel free to go and make your comments, whatever you would say. As a matter of fact, the truth is I was looking at a movie, might have been about a week or so ago, and I can't recall the exact name of the movie, but I want to believe it was something about love at first sight or something like that, where these two young people met because the young lady missed her flight, met this young man. She was going to her father's wedding, and he said he was going to his mother's funeral. But he was actually not going to a funeral per se because the mother was still alive, but she wanted, instead of waiting until she was dead, when she couldn't hear all the things people would have had to say about her, that they would say it while she was alive. And I felt that it was a pretty significant and novel idea of, let me hear what you had to say about me because while I'm alive. And that was very profound for me. And that's why I said, come on, this foolishness about where we meet and making people clone people accounts and people cloning, actually maybe they cloning people because now they're building memories and pictures and all, they know all the names of all your relatives and your children and everybody. And so I am of the opinion that I should not give them any unnecessary information to tell where we met and all of that. So that's why I chose, let's talk something else more constructive. Let me hear what you have, what raving reviews you have to say about me while I'm still alive.
Queen, I shall finally give you your papers. Your post-Hamas crown. So why are you still around, Queen? We'll acknowledge the fact that you are indeed Queen Olubisi.
Thank you.
Even at some point, there was difficulty in the delivery.
No, but it's to be written, you know, for the world to see.
I will definitely remember that.
They can choose to say good or bad. at the end of it all, I want to say those who had nothing to say, please, upon my demise, keep your silence. So it's now or never.
We laugh about it because we know it is in fact inevitable, and we know it's only when you go the people start to scream and bawl and want to take you back out the hole because they realize they had one last day. So tell me how much you love me now, and on the back end you'll tell me now because no wait until I'm past. So I still get where you're going with that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Absolutely.
You have, you have more callers if you want me to open up the mics.
Yeah, let me see who's listening tonight.
Okay, you have 205-742. Okay. Your mic is open.
205-742, welcome to the Sadie Sunday Show. Your mic is open. Okay, caller, are you free to join us? Our conversation this evening, we are looking at Burkina Faso, what's happening over there with the youngest president of the world. We are looking at what's happening on American soil concerning the border crisis. What is happening as far as who is really benefiting from this crisis? Because the people are just coming in left, right, and center. At first, there was certain control factors like Homeland Security, ICE was running around. But now we see up to now 9,000 people are coming in daily. There's up to 1 million people here, and they're supposedly scattered in various cities that are welcoming them. So, Cora, this is our conversation this evening. Your mics are open. Please join in.
Unmute yourself.
Okay, Callie, if you want to just listen to Sadie Sunday Show.
Okay, 205-742, your mic is open. You can't hear you. I don't know if you're on mute or whatever situation is. Say hello.
Hello, welcome to Silly Sunday Show. We're listening, caller.
Well, I guess, and then we did the other one had dropped again. So people call back in because I don't know what's the technology, what's the problem with the technology. People are dropping off as well. So people call back in.
Okay, it's a cold and rainy Sunday, but it's nice and warm inside. So for those who are inside and you're listening, you know what we do is on this side of town. We take up the information that you most likely want to discuss. We're going to examine it. We're going to have the truth about it, see what's going on with it. And, of course, the things you want to talk about as well on the Sadie Sunday Show, we're going to talk about that as well. We're going to bring it your daily, your weekly dose of reality on Sundays. As you listen from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., always a pleasure to have you. This is Sadie Gomez of Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated coming to you live and alive for local number 26. Here we are, celebrating life, celebrating our Sundays. Dr. Robinson, let me know if anyone else there.
Okay, as soon as I get them back on as well. Okay, 347-977, your mic is open.
Thank you for opening my mic. I just called in. I don't know what the topic's about, so I'm just listening right now. Thank you.
Oh, that's Dr. Wimborne, everybody.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
And I forgot to give my presentation. Dr. Wimborne is the man that created all this stuff, everything that y'all see, everything that y'all hear, everything that's going on. Oh, he tried to hide with different numbers. That voice, you never hide that voice, Dr. Wimborne.
I sure was trying to hide, boy, I tell you.
When I be there, see, I'm from South Carolina, you know me.
I see.
I'm going to miss that voice, man.
I was barely had my headphones in. Read it.
But we want to share with you what was happening a little bit here. So we have stepped into the continent, and we were examining the area of Burkina Faso, and we talk about the youngest prime minister, the youngest president in the world, and the advances he is making so far. Again, we know it has not been in the way that he came into government. We should say that he just slid in there. It wasn't in that special democratic way, but he's there for his people, and they understand what he's doing. And of course, if a president is making his people happy, then the president is doing a good job. At the end of the day, what is he supposed to do? So here we are seeing, you're building roads, projects are being done, this is being filmed, documented, and of course we see his alignment with Iran, Russia, North Korea. But we are asking, what is he to do when the West, for 60 years or more, has just led his country into total poverty? It's a new day dawning, and people have made up their minds to do different things. So we celebrate this man, youth, his strength, his integrity, as we watch as the advancements he's making in this country. And as I said, this is not just things that would never make the 6 o'clock news on the regular, but we have seen as being documented and filmed by the cell phone users, the regular people who really are the journalists of the world these days, because they keep it real. So here we are again, as we touch upon American soil. You know, we see that there's a border crisis, and we are wondering, is there a border crisis, or is there a design crisis whereby some great cartel is making all this money? Because now we are seeing from 2000, when we had Obama, and people were coming in, there were 2,000 people coming in on a daily basis, or allegedly so. Now it has speeded up into the era where Trump came and a wall was supposed to be built, and you know the material is still hanging there, because I guess they couldn't find enough Mexicans to build the wall. You know, cheap labor is what America go for. So the material is still there, the rate has fair, the snow has come, the wall is there. It has not been built. We are seeing now 9,000 people on a daily basis are now coming in to the United States, and we are seeing there's a sudden border crisis or is there. So presently there are 2 million illegal people that just came through the border. Is there a crisis or is there a design plan where some great cartel is being benefiting from all of this craziness? So here we are, Dr. Minmore.
Wow. Well, I mean, I will say this. I am so proud and happy to see the things happening in Africa that are happening. And to know that our people are finally waking up and finally speaking up and finally doing something besides just complaining about how the West has ripped them off, how the West have fooled them into believing that they were helping, but all in the meantime robbing them and just stealing their resources. And yet their people are dying. Yet their people are, you know, good numbers are living in the street and destitute while they're taking the resources out of the country and doing other with it. So, you have to be proud of what we see going on there, what we see happening in South Africa, and so many other African countries that are coming up and standing up and saying, listen, enough is enough. Now, just as they're saying enough is enough, we ought to be saying the exact same thing, that enough is enough. And that we have to do something in order to change our predicament. And I heard somebody say that to keep doing what you've been doing and expecting a different result is insanity. So we need to look at how we've been handling these situations in the past and decide or make an analogy as to what we need to do now, what we need to do differently. We've done the whole march. We boycotted. We've done all that stuff. We've protested. I often say we protested police brutality while experiencing police brutality. It's how bad it's gotten. It's gotten so bad till we say Black Lives Matter, then they say Blue Lives Matter. That's how bad it's gotten. And there seems to be an ongoing attack, an organized attack around the world against our people. And, you know, the underground current is that since COVID and since some other things have happened, they're about to change the game again. And they're about to be, you know, with this foreclosure crisis that is about to happen. The big corporations will be going in and buying up everything, right? And then here's what I'm hearing the plan is. And then as far as real estate is concerned, and then renting those units, those houses, those apartments to their employees, where the rent for those apartments and houses is coming directly out of their pay. So now what does that mean? That means that they're controlling you. They're going to mean they're controlling your money. They're controlling where you live. If you're a tenant now, you have to live by the landlord's rules. You know, the landlord rules could say you have to be inside by 10 o'clock.
Sounds like a small prison.
Right. But on the surface, it sounds good. Oh, I can get this apartment, and they're going to pay the rent. It's going to come out of my check. I ain't got to worry about it. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Until you realize that you've been had. And then what
you're
going to do.
Well, that's how they normally do it, you know. Because how do you think they got the people over here? They told them they were going on a boat ride. So that's how the thing started. And
that's
you see how it ended up.
We're going on a weekend cruise.
Oh, yeah. And a starlight.
That lasted 400 years. So, you know, as far as what's going on in Africa, we have to be proud and glad about what we see. But it's not just enough for that. We have to start saying, we see what they're doing. What are we going to do? We see them coming together in Africa and all those countries in Africa. We see them coming together. But what are we going to do here? How are we coming together? How are we joining forces? How are we unifying? How are we pooling our resources together? How are we pooling our energies together to protect ourselves? Because that's what we need. We need protection. We don't have it from anywhere else. There's no protection from those that's supposed to be protected. We need protection from the protectors. What are we going to do? Are we going to continue to just sit around and talk about it? Are we going to continue to just pray and believe God? And God has said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, and that no weapon of form against you shall prosper. What are you going to do?
Why the bomb is dropped on your head? But on a very serious note, someone has to come forward and take that initiative, because it's a real time, and we are actually headed into a time of war, whereby we have as a people, and of course this is the Ethiopian World Federation.
They don't believe that. They do not believe we're at war. They don't believe we're at war. They have been, we have been very, no matter how much we tell them that, they don't get it because they're too busy looking at The Bachelor. Housewives of Atlanta. They've been sidetracked. Our newest distraction is, Deion Sanders primetime and the Colorado College. All of these things are distractions that keep us from knowing what's really going on. And so that we don't do anything. But the attack is always on us because they know, they already know. And I said to everybody all the time, I go to my grave saying it, that their biggest fear is a unified black people. Their biggest fear here in this country is that they begin to see in this country what's going on in Africa. They're killing us every day.
More importantly, I was just speaking also concerning what happened at the United Nations this week. Burkina Faso sent a representative, and he spoke at the United Nations. Were you so privileged to see the speech?
Yeah, I saw a couple of the speeches. I saw the president of Ghana.
Particularly Burkina Faso representative. He took a minute, and he called out some names. He said he wanted to give a big salute to a few names. And the man called out Fidel Castro, Kwame Ture, Malcolm X. He was going on. All the big boys, Toki Michael, he was just going on. He called about 40 names. And then he laid his speech. United Nations had a full minute of silence because nobody believed what was coming out of his mouth. It was compelling. You ought to take a look at it, especially that speech with Burkina Faso representatives. Shut the United Nations down. Happened last week.
Yeah, I'm going to go back and check it out. I didn't see it.
Very moving. Was the best speech, most powerful speech at the United Nations for the whole ceremony. And, of course, you know, no one saw it coming, which was the best part.
That's always the best part.
You
see the look on their face when they get slapped.
Oh, my goodness.
And they froze in their seat.
Not like he gave them an injection. They were comatose for the moment. So we are observing the strength, and we see whereby the Africans are no longer afraid. to speak up and speak out and stand up. Because what else, what are the choices? It's about survival now, and they have seen that nothing will left for their children or their grandchildren, and if they don't do it now, they will be stamped right into the earth.
Mm.
The colonizer will not give up because Africa is the wealth of the world. And you're coming here telling me you are helping me? You're helping yourself pulling your baskets and leaving. And we have seen it year after year after year. So they're waking up and they're walking out.
They will tell you that when the colonizers came to Africa, that the Africans had the land, the colonizers had the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay. And then when they turned around, they looked, Africans had the Bible and the colonizers had the land.
No, before that they said, close your eye and let us pray.
Pray, yeah.
Oh.
So we just need to wake up. We just need to continue to wake up. And the awakening that we see is going on is a natural awakening because of the times that we're living in, because of the energy in the atmosphere, or because of the dispensation that we're living in. It has been prophesied that this is the time when we will wake up. So I'm not surprised. I've been talking about this for, you know, I had a conversation with my daughter about some of the things that we hear now. And, you know, she mentioned to me about, you know, I've been saying these things for 40 some odd years about what was coming and what was going to be happening. But we look now and we see that it's happening now. It's not going to happen. It's already happening. You know?
And just let everybody know, all mics are open.
Okay. I would like to chime in. I'm back. I was with y'all, but I had another call and got on it. Now I'm back.
Oh, welcome to the city, Sunday, too. Welcome.
Yes. And like you said, I got a chance to listen to that leader at the United Nations give his speech with the interpreter, and he laid it on them. And we got to realize, like you said, we've probably been iterated before, that the changing of the gods is at hand, and that 400 years of oppression and slavery in the United States have went out in 2019. The colonizer cannot, Pharaoh cannot get away with what he used to get away with. And like you said, we got all kind of signs and all kind of scriptures that bag up all this. And this is not nobody just pulling it out the air. Because I could give y'all some scriptures. See, if y'all go back and realize that the Bible that the Roman Catholic Church called canonized and uncanonized, see, they didn't take the Apocrypha. They took the Apocrypha and throwed it out. I have had the opportunity now to read the Apocrypha. That's a part of the Bible that they throwed out. I think it's 80 books in the Bible. And they got us at 66. 66
in the Apocrypha.
They talked about all this.
The Maccabeans, right?
The Maccabeans, second Esther.
Now,
right, the second Esther, first Esther, second Maccabees, first Maccabees.
That's right. And inside of the Maccabees, they tell you in there what's going on now. So
they're telling you what's going on now.
Yep, that's why it was important for them to take those books out of the Bible.
And that's how they got a chance to go long as they did. Those books had been left in the Bible, and then, you know, they beat us and killed us to keep us from reading. They never dreamed that the black man was ever going to be able to read and step in a library. And, you know, there's certain sections of books right now. If any of y'all want to pull a test, go in a public library and go in the areas of religion and go in those areas where they feel like a black man should never have no curiosity about. And go in them areas and see, don't you get questioned. Go in them areas and ask about certain books, and they will look at you like you pull a gun out on them.
Mm-hmm.
So they banking on us. And what they said, what the old philosophy was, put it in a book. If you want to hide something from a Negro, from black people, put it in a book. But see, they wasn't counting on this technology, the TikTok and YouTube and all these independent people who are putting
right.
stuff out from every which
right,
way.
Right.
They can't contain the they
right.
can't contain
right.
the news information no more.
That's
and
right.
Boy, it's a field day. Yeah. It's a field day now with all the information that's flowing. And I advise any black man under the sound of my weak voice to get up and reread the Bible. Identify who those characters is then and who those characters is now. See, it's impossible to understand anything if you don't know where you at, who you is in the Bible, who they is in the Bible. Every race of people, it wasn't but 18 nations. In the Bible. 18 nations is all in the Bible. That's it. And the last two out of the 18 were Esau and Jacob. Y'all all know that story. Esau got a perpetual hate for Jacob. And at one time, we had Jacob rule the world. Jacob ruled. But we stopped following God. If y'all know anything about the Bible, we'll follow God a little while, and then we'll stop following. We'll go over there and take on their gods. And now, right to this day, we still love and defend the colonizer. We love and defend him for some reason or another. You can get to talking about Jesus black. What color matter? Well, why the white Jesus matter for 400, 500 years? If it color don't matter, then they should have never paraded a white Jesus around. Come on, people, open your eyes up. Color do matter. And why all these bad things happen to the dark-skinned folks? I mean, I had a conversation with one of my coworkers who was sitting down talking to me. Oh, it's so rough. It's a white person. They was white. And it's so hard. It's so rough. I this and this and this. And I said, well, all I'm saying to you, my friend, I call him my friend, but and I told him, if you think you catching hell, just come and be black one time. And I guarantee you your trouble will multiply 100-fold. If you were walking black shoes for a day, you got the benefit of your white skin. And we got the negativity of our black skin. Y'all white skin give y'all privilege. And some of y'all may be bone illiformed, or some of y'all may be bone retarded, but y'all can still get out and get a job quicker than a educated black man. And they got studies and statistics all over the United States showing you well, a convicted felon white man can get out and get a job quicker than an educated college degree black man. And so when we use the word all, we know that's a blanket statement. But show me in the Bible when God came and put the Israelites in slavery, they all go into slavery, he cherry picked. Well, you were good, you was okay, and you were this, and he separated them out from going into slavery. So when we bring up all white people is the devil, I ain't saying all white people are in the same ranks. If some white people got more money than other white people, but you still got one thing in common, like we got one thing in common, your white skin. If you get up and go to work and get up and go to college, you ain't got to worry about FEMA action. You ain't got to worry about discrimination. You can come from a trailer park. Look at Bill Clinton. The president, Bill Clinton, came from a trailer park. Trailer park trash. Didn't know who his daddy was. But he can go to college and go down and get a lawyer degree and go into politics and become president of the United States. Now, we as black folk, Barack Obama, out of all the hell many presidents was when he got elected, how we feel that he was going to get in there and change anything? One person, not a white person or a black person, get in the seat, guess what? That seat changed every 4 to 8 years with a person, but the seat stayed the same. United States still the same United States, same law, same rules. Don't care what president get the seat. So let us stop looking to a president to satisfy our situations. He can't do it. Barack Obama couldn't go in there and do nothing. And I ain't no put down to black people, but all black folks in them high positions is eating a lot of white folks' ass. Excuse my language. They ain't in there for the benefit of black cause.
That's so good.
They ain't in there for black folks. They in there for their own self, and they in there doing all the bidding for that white man to keep the rest of us down. They going to let a 1 or 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 11 of us get up to hold 10,000 down. And they're going to pay them well. I'm often remembering a slave movie that I was watching, and there was a picture of a black man on a white horse holding the gun over all the slaves picking cotton. What that represents. Now, don't you never forget these people that get in these high places. That white horse represent him, so he don't have to stand there with it. The gun represent his power. And that Negro sitting on that horse with that white man gun would kill the hell out of you. He would kill you to keep that position because he don't never want to get back down on the ground and do pick cotton no more. So remember the corporate plantation that we got in 2023, the IBM, the Jeff Bezos, the Amazons, all these big companies, Ford Motor Company, all these big companies. Yeah, they will give black folk good positions as long as they take that pledge that I always keep a nigga down for you, and they'll put him in high place. Look at Clarence Thomas. What are you in that high position for? Clarence Thomas has never voted to help black folks at nothing, and he went in as a what? A Republican. When he went in it, he was already saying they wasn't going in there for no black people. He's going in there for himself and all he can get. And whatever them white folk tell him to do, he going to do it. So let us keep that in mind, that it ain't no new phenomenon. It ain't no different between an educated slave and a field hand slave. The house nigga and the field nigga. They going to always going to put some division between the black man. And at that note, I will close out and yield the floor to somebody else.
Well, we do understand where you're coming from because it's a game of puppetry. And for those who can understand it and see it, we know what time it is. So we say it and we talk it and we do it the true way on Sadie Sundays. Our guests who custom listening, they know what we say on this side of town. We examine up all things. But we are giving everybody a chance to chime in this conversation.
I just want to interject
203-667, your mic is open.
If a person has to go to read the Bible to know...
Christine, let's bring on this guest for a second, and then you would come in, because his mic seems to be dropping. 203-667, your mic is open. Welcome to the Sadie Sunday Show. Okay, cool. If you just want to listen to the Sadie Sunday Show, can you hear us? You can unmute your mic. And we are discussing all things. I hope you're listening long enough to know what's happening. But then, Queen, we let you talk while this, you know, give the caller a chance to get his or
I was simply saying that if a person has to go to read a Bible at this stage in the game to know who he or she is, well behind the finish line, by now we should have been fully installed into who we are and what our purpose is in this lifetime, unless you're a teenager. So, you know, we have to do better. We ought to do better. The elders need to be more involved within our communities, so that we have a sense of direction and purpose, you know. But still, once you have crossed 20, 24, by now, well, let's say 21, because you have had three cycles at 21, by now, you should know who you are. That's just my take.
Well, Queen, this is well said, and I have seen a bit in my observation that there are so many people, as you are saying, cross 21, and we are crossing and we are thinking about the age factor, that have yet not been educated or eye-open or has been informed as to really who they are, simply because it has not been done. So we look at people who are at different stages within their consciousness, but yet still the ages as to which we expect a person should have evolved at a certain limit, seeing that you are, my God, 50 years upon the earth and you have only reached to 16, it's quite amazing. But we are seeing this happening. What we can do is have a little patience where each one teach one. But I know at this point you're saying, my God, it's the ninth hour. It's 5 minutes to midnight, and we are now trying to learn the ABCs. No, we don't have time. But then, in a reality, we have to lose a few because only really the strong survive. Because at this point, we are at a really, really crucial point within our reality.
Did you say like the five foolish virgins?
Well, you know,
did you say like the five foolish virgins with no oil in their lamp?
Well, my wick well trim and my lamp full, and I am not giving away any. So when those five foolish virgins come outside, I let them know one time I'm going to meet the bridegroom, and I don't have any extra to give. So, Sadie Sundays, we welcome you to the Sadie Sunday Show. This is Sadie Gomez of Ethiopia Modified Wilson Incorporated coming to you live on the Sadie Sunday Show. I welcome all my wonderful studio guests that you should join in conversation as to whatever you want to talk about as we move closer and closer to the top of the hour. You know how we do it on this Sunday. We take everything that we wish to discuss out from under the rug, and we do examine it. We keep it real, we keep it truthful on this side of town. Whoever wants to talk, your mics are open. Let us know what to do at this point. Dr. Robinson, who's in the queue?
We have everyone, 203-667-347-997-205-1042. Everybody, mic is open. Mics are open. 203-667,
okay,
your mic is open.
Can you please unmute your mic? At least you can just say hi. You're on the show. This is Sadie Sunday, and we welcome you to the show. Even if you don't want to join in, you can just say hello to Sadie. And we know it's on Sundays at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. We're always happy to have our wonderful studio audience on the show. Who is exactly who runs the show? Because we are willing to talk about what you want to talk about. So all mics are open at this time. For those first-time listeners or second-time listeners, we are one big family over here. Feel free to say whatever you want, but you know the underlying factor, we're going to tell the truth. We like the truth, we teach you some facts, and we share wisdom. So all mics are open, please join in.
This is 2367. I'm just here listening to that conversation. At this moment, I really have no comments or so forth. I'm just listening to the gut conversation.
Okay, caller. So that's really good to have you on the show. And, you know, it's good to listen in because somewhere along the line, you may just learn something because the people that come on the show is great wisdom. But thank you for coming on all the same. And feel free to join in at any point in time. So we've opened the mics of someone else at this time. Dr. Robinson, is 205 still in the queue?
They're all open.
Okay, so we are willing to hear from you, even if you just drop by to say hello and to join the big family that we are growing. But at Sadie Sundays, we have touched the topics. We have entered into the continent, and particularly so, Burkina Faso is really what I'm passionate about this evening. It is, in fact, the youngest president in the whole world. He is showing some great strength and integrity, and, of course, he's advancing his wonderful part of Africa, and he's afraid to do so. And we are looking forward for the elders to take a page out of this young man's book because he's a fearless lion, and he's just moving on. It may not be the conventional way that people normally do so. Maybe there was not no big voting and checking of votes and hanging chads and all this sort of democratic BS that they go on with. He just simply moved right in. He's taking care of his people, and they love him. And that's what I call really democratic. Because if you're not making your people happy, then you need to just get out of the seat. Because we have been suffering for way far too long, and we ought to have leadership in a different sort of way. Because at this, we know we were once kings and queens of the earth. So we have fallen and fallen from grace, and for so long we have been slaves of a nation and slaves in our own continent, the richest continent of the, in the earth, a God-blessed land. We are indeed the cradle of civilization. So we are suffering and have been for 400 years. But one of my very wise policies, that time has come and has been over. So we are rising, the continent is rising, and of course Federation is rising, for which, you know, again, I want to give thanks unto a wonderful Dr. James Winborn, the president of the Ethiopian World Federation, who had such a vision in seeing the show move forward. And as I tell him, we are way past, we are doing hundreds of shows right now, because it's wonderful to know the Ethiopian World Federation for Local 26, that we are doing something with a platform where you can express yourself. You know, on Shady Sundays, there's no whole barrier. We talk it as we see it, and we know it to be true. But here we are in speaking truth. As I say, Dr. Winborn, thank you again for that wonderful vision that you have. And we are still here talking and enjoying, and of course, one day realizing how great this platform is. Because when the thing is no longer televised in the 6 o'clock news, you know you have to tune in to Sadie Sunday to know what's going on, because this is where the real news is. As I said, your weekly dose of reality. So coming to you again, live and alive, we are saying it is going to be another lockdown. It's inevitable. And don't forget, I'm telling you all this so you all can be prepared. I don't really want to be the bearer of bad news or the Grim Reaper or any sort of names, but I'm letting you all know, please stock up on your cases of water. It's very important to do so. Although many times we stock up on the water and then we wonder what happened to our water. Now, I do have 3 cases, but I'm sure I'm going to get into that. So please, stock up water for your families. There's going to be another lockdown. You know how the Chaldeans are, the wicked pharaohs of this world. They're going to just do it for their economic reasons. It'll probably be 2 weeks or more, but I'm just telling you, you know, this is where you get your news. Please stock up on water, at least some food stuff. But no, you can't eat the money, so please do so, because it's coming again. And that whole COVID story is going to be back with us again for whatever reason. So call us, someone, please, make your phone. If you are not using your phone, and we would have some background noise. Remember, we are doing radio, and we want everyone to hear us clearly. So, Queen, I hear you in the background. Would you like to say something?
Did you hear that, did you hear that on October 4th, that there will be broadcast of the emergency system, which will trigger the radiation waves of the radiation waves of all these cell towers that we are circulating around, and also cell phones and whatever electronic devices. If you recall the movie Kingsman, is it Kingsman or Knightsman? Kingsman with Samuel Jackson. You would recall that there were a series of signals being broadcast which were negatively affecting people. So that's another thing that we have to keep ourselves alert to, the possibility. They said that it's going to be at 2:22 p.m. So there was a request that was sent out on the 4th of October to silence your phone at about 2 p.m. to avoid being negatively affected by the broadcast signal.
Well, yes, Queen, indeed, I have heard, and I was wondering if I should even have a topic about that, seeing that it was so isolated. But, you know, Queen, I know my wonderful studio audience is always on top of the game. So, yes, I want to talk about October 4th. They're asking, just as you said, quite informative, that you should take off your phone. But what I want us to observe right now, and we're going to learn this, there's that entity that is called CERN, C-E-R-N, and this body, which is in Switzerland, are going to be responsible for half of the death of us right now, because that thing called 5G that they are going to activate is, and together with the vaccine and that Jimmy Jabbers that people just took, it's going to have a whole effect on the brain wave of people. And now they're warning you because the Chaldeans are so wise, they're like, at least we warn them. But people will be affected. But at least they said they didn't destroy the city without a warning. And I'm really, really concerned. That's why I didn't even want a 5G phone, much less that spy phone that they have these days. I didn't even want one of those because that is a way where they can affect what is actually happening to your mental, to your psyche. Isn't that such a wicked thing? So on October 4th, what are we supposed to do? Just not talk on our phones at all? What should we do, Queen?
Caution is the watchword. We have to...
Well, I just left my phone down on October 3rd. I picked it up on October 6th. But I'm sure everything is all right.
Well, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. So what we need to understand is that we have been given the information. We ought to keep our eyes, ears, and our wits about us. And if you see something that, you know, you just make an effort to preserve self at any cost.
Well, indeed, you know, so wonderful it is, but we are seeing also some people are so attached to their phones that even if they see this very notification, you know, the way the brain is working these days, they will, you know that that's their second brain. They won't be able to put it down. So I'm really concerned what is going to happen. But then again, we are seeing where that 5G network is going to become dangerous because when CERN activates certain elements, a lot of madness is going to happen. But they're not talking about that. And then again, we are about to face something. I'm just saying to you, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but we're going to keep it real on City Sundays. We are going to face a kind of zombie-like effect with people who have had that jibby-jabbers because now there are mutations happening in the body. Doctors are in whispers about it. And just recently, I mean, in a worst-case scenario, people are having adverse effects from what that coronavirus did or didn't do. So, again, we are seeing a lockdown is inevitable because when CERN turns on that machinery, you know, we ought to Google CERN, see what they're all about. That is probably a topic for another day. That's probably a whole show because they have a dance and everything going on, which I tell you all about. This occultic and demonic behavior is going on right in our faces. They're opening portals left, right, and center. Demons are running up and down. It's like a carnival, I'm saying. Satan is on parade right now, I swear. He surely is. But anyhow, this is his reign. The Bible tells us about it. He will have 7 years to reign, and for the very elect's sake, maybe time will be shortened. But here we are in the end time. So we ought to see the various makeup and the dynamics as things are being placed and put together, whereby the pieces of the puzzle has to fit. But it's a wicked time, it's a Satan time, and for those of us who ought to understand, the Almighty is calling us into repentance. I am not just saying, oh my God, I want to serve God. No, not the rundown church and everything, but a really true relationship whereby we can understand what time it really is in this here dispensation. So, again, we know where we are on the Sunday. We know what we have to discuss. We know what time it is. And I am passing the mic back on to my wonderful studio audience who may want to share something with me this Sunday. Dr. Robinson, let me know who's in the queue, please.
Same existence.
Okay. So, Dr. Robinson, let's just hear from you since you've been a bit quiet. You know you're my wonderful co-host on a Sunday evening.
Well, you have all your audience there if they're contributing. But, things are changing. You know, the atmosphere is changing. Global warming is real. We're having, you know, serious weather conditions that are changing. You know, you're having places where it was only winter. Alaska is having summer, and places where it's very warm, like Florida is having winter. So global warming is real. conditions in society is changing. We definitely see the effects of man traveling to the moon and going different parts of the hemisphere and in the atmosphere and in the global existence into places where men maybe should not go. And it's causing all kinds of conditioning. But at the same token, the social conditionings are changing too, because now they got global racism, global racism in terms of environmental racism, they're calling it, you know, against nature itself. And so all these things work together. They all work in cahoots. But they might mean that we will get rid of the old, like you said earlier, the young people coming in and taking over certain positions of leadership, and the old guard is going to retire or die out, one or the other, and we're having a new world. But hopefully we have taught or educated the young people in the right way to judge society, to lead, to be leadership positions with some quality. And so, you know, we see a lot of changes going on in the universal changes. And people, we're going to have to learn to come together. The universe is getting smaller. The global economy is getting smaller. The world is not as wide as it is. The young man found out the other day that from the Grand Canyon, you can actually walk to Africa. So that tells us how close we are in proximity to the world, how we are affected by what happens on a global level. And we're getting more affected, not only on the economic level, but also on environmental level in terms of sicknesses and diseases. And so we all in this together. And I think that we're going to have to learn to come to some common. Your sister said the other day, we're going to have to learn to how to share the space. And she would use an example of America where she says whites and blacks have to sit down and come together and come to a decision on how we're going to share the space. It's like living in a communal society or living in an apartment with roommates, and you have to learn how to share that apartment or that house with others that are there. And so we're going to have to learn how to do that in subsequent time in the universe, in our spaces, what we call countries. People are going to have to learn how to subsequently live together. And it's going to be done by natural. It's going to be done naturally. It's not going to be artificially developed. It's going to be a condition where you have no other choice. And you have no other choice, actually. So, you know, things are changing. Things like you said, Africa is turning around. New leadership is coming in. Young people are taking over. They had a young boy there, a young man in Mississippi became the mayor of a town in Mississippi at 18 years old, African American young man at 18, fresh out of high school. He didn't finish college, didn't start college yet, and he's the mayor of a city in Mississippi. So, you know, and you hear now a lot of young people running for office, 19, 21 years old, winning their senator seat or the, you know, or whatever seats they're winning. You got young people in Congress now at 26, 27 years old. And so the tenure of the guard is happening, and there's a whole new kind of young people out there now that's changing the way things are going, and we need that. We need that. I think it's time for all these old folks to step back and develop these young people, mentor these young people, teach these young people, congressmen, teach somebody young to take over your seat, you know, senator, U.S. senator, state senator, council people, you know, presidents, you know, teach some young person to take over your position, because the Bible says, you know, the children shall inherit the kingdom of God. So they're going to inherit it anyway. And if we don't teach them, they're not going to be prepared to do anything productive. So I'm encouraged that we have a quality of young people, you know, that are doing very well. We hear about the bad things, we hear about the bad young people, we hear about the bad things going on, you know, all the drugs and gangs and homelessness and all this stuff. But there's a lot of good going on as well. And sometimes you got to accent the positive and X out the negative and just keep positive. And so I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged that things, you know, eventually will change. That old saying, nothing
stays. I just want to really piggyback a piece of your conversation before you go too far and I forget my thought form. That conversation about the Grand Canyon and the young man says you can probably almost walk to Africa. Now, that just sounded like it was comical, but I really had to stop for a minute. You know, hence the reason is why the map was changed. Because the present-day map that we have, where it shows Africa and we show the Caribbean and we show the distance, that map was changed, particularly because in the slavery time, they did not want us to understand exactly where we were, because we might have wanted to just go back home, and probably we might just have to walk back over. So I was very, very, you know, intrigued by that piece of conversation, because there's an old map, which, you know, this is radio, like we can't show maps and everything here, but one day we'll be privileged to do so. But the map, the world map, has been changed. So interestingly enough that you said that, and, you know, it sounds so comical, but there's a serious concern as to, you know, that return, that exodus, that movement of our people, because this here land that we do live in, and as I said, you know, we keep it real in this side of town, this is indeed modern-day Babylon. And again, of course, not just Babylon, but we are seen right in Babylon. We are living in Sodom and Gomorrah, in the two cities which we thought was destroyed. But, you know, the remnants came back and is here to haunt us. But here we are observing. This is Babylon. So really, when we think of the Mount Zion that God loved and the Mount Zion of his people, we look towards the continent. So in terms of watching what's going on here, we at some point, and being all things Africa, we just have to keep our ears, our eyes open to know when that trumpet sound, because I'm telling you, the first time the ship rolled into harbor, I'll be first with my bags packed, because Africa is on my mind for many reasons. And I'm saying, this here land, this is Babylon, and we know it. We know it spiritually. We understand where we are to spiritually, Sodom and Gomorrah as well. And who wants to stay? And we know we are the children of the Most High. So one day we have to trot out of this here Babylon. But again, another conversation for another day. But to understand and to bear the wisdom of what you said, Dr. Robinson, the map has indeed been changed. And a few people are privileged to see the real world map before, you know, the Chaldeans had their hands in it. So we share wisdom, we seek wisdom, and, of course, you know, this is what we do to inform the ones who are here with us listening, and we give our audience time to chime in as we move closer to the top of the hour. All mics are open.
We have some shy people in the audience tonight. We have some very shy people.
Are we still having tea?
We have some very shy people in the audience tonight. I said we have some very shy people in attendance tonight.
Well, you know, sometimes they just want to listen to the voice of the queens, maybe, you know, how it is. Because sometimes they got to give us time to talk, and they can get a time to rock back and reflect. But you know what we do? We share love on this side of town, and the Sadie Sunday Show, we share the truth. And it's good when my listening audience are keeping quiet, because maybe they are rocking back with a glass of wine. They got a big cigar. You know, the luxury of my royals. But most importantly, they are there and they are present. And we just want to say, you know, it's one big happy family. And for those of us who listen on the Sadie Sunday Show, we can take it down low sometimes. We take the groove real slow, but sometimes we get real hype and excited, and we are screaming at each other's throats. But all of us, and all, when we roll to the top of the hour, we break it right down, because we understand next week, Sunday, we're going to be back in love again. And from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., and then we're always here. always say near and there. But, Queen, you know, it's often wonderful when we take a sip of the tea because you know how we do it on the side.
Yes.
What's been happening in the social calendar, Queen? Let me know when I have to make my gong and everything. Who's rolling into town this weekend?
Oh, you're blowing up my spot.
Oh, no, I'm not blowing up your spot, social butterfly. I'm just saying, please invite me. You know, I have my high heels and everything. Oh, my gosh. Did we leave the man very quiet? But where's the other Robinsons?
I don't know.
You don't realize it's Sunday? We didn't wake him up to Sunday?
I don't know.
I hope he's all right.
Let the rebel in you. Touch the rebel in me. And the rebel in me can touch the rebel in you. And the rebels in me will bring sweet harmony. And it will bring out the love. Bring out the love. Bring out all the love in me. My love is deeper than the ocean. Come on, because you got the notion. Our love is in need of sweet devotion. To bring out the love in me, and I will bring out the love in you. Let the lover in me touch the lover in you, and the lover in you can touch the lover in me, and the lover will be his father set us free. And it will bring out the love, bring out the love, bring out all the love in me. Bring out the rebel. Yeah, I want to bring out the rebel. Bring out the rebel. Yes, I want to bring out the rebel. Bring out the rebel. Bring out the rebel, bring out the rebel in me. We're going to bring out the rebel.
I am just saying, it's all the royals. All the royals in the house. I was just the queen herself, just breaking out the rendition of love, bringing out the rebel in her. Queen. It's a city.
And she'll be going on
Jimmy
tour.
That's the man, Jimmy Cliff.
And the queen will be going on tour this year.
I need a chaperone and a bodyguard. Would you care to serve as a bodyguard while my sister
serves
as a chaperone to maintain my integrity?
Yes, I shall. You have my favorite song you always sing, so I definitely would love to be in your presence when you're performing.
You make me blush, yes? My ears move.
Well, we don't conduct that on Sadie Sunday. What we do here, we entertain the royals, we relax, we have a glass of wine, we start to sing, we have our own Eartha Kitt control something just now, because, you know, Eartha Kitt is like, I'm feeling a bit Eartha Kitt in the mood like that. So in case, you know, we have a few minutes, if you want to drop an Eartha Kitt on me, sis, because this is the way we do it, you know. We have 4 minutes before we close off, but I'm just feeling in such a mood right now, sis. I should get me a glass of wine after the show.
Many rivers to cross, but I can't seem to find my way over. wandering and lost as I travel along the white cliffs of Dover. Many rivers to cross, and it's only my will that keeps me alive. I've been licked, washed up for years, and I barely survive because of my pride. Oh, yeah. But if loneliness won't leave me alone, it's such a drag to be on your own. My lover left, and he didn't say why. Oh, well, guess I have to try.
I am just loving it.
Let's book an encore now. Encore, encore.
Of love. Music
I
is
just
the food of love.
The happy royal family on the Sundays. You must just tell your friends and family the amount of fun we'll be having over on the side of town, because we had the Queen with her lovely rendition, with Jimmy Cliff serenading us, making us feel all warm and fuzzy inside on this cold Sunday evening. But Queen, we thank you so very much. As you often grace our presence in this radio, you know you are one of the spectacular voices that we long to hear, because you surely put a smile on Dr. Robinson's face, you know. You have to make somebody happy at the end of the evening. And of course, we have the others who just listen to Sadie Sunday as well. And we thank you so very much, wonderful studio audience, every Sunday when you can separate yourself from the world and enter into the world of Sadie, the world where we do the truth, we do the real.
I didn't hear the president's voice tonight, huh? I didn't hear Dr. Robinson's voice tonight.
You are being requested. We are moving quickly to the top of the hour. Mr. President, if you are there, can you please come to the mic?
We dropped him, but Creola BC can give us a little going home music.
I was born by the river in a little tent. Oh, and just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change is gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know a change is gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Okay. It's been a wonderful evening. To say Gomez, E.T. Primo, Federation, saying good night.
Good night.